This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Team 980 got you covered on both ends of the dial in DC, 980 AM, 106.7 FM. In Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I use the Odyssey app to check out my guy, the Rooster, Chris Russell, and his show on the Team 980, and he joins us right now on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. On the Rude guest hotline, we welcome in Chris Russell. What's up, buddy?
My guy, how are you? What's going on? Good morning.
I'm doing good, man, and this was a busy week for the Commanders. Do you think this upcoming week is going to be even more busy?
Very, very.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be surprised if the roster doesn't look dramatically different by, you know, if we talk next Saturday. I would expect Zach Ertz and maybe a Jeremy Chinn to be back under the fold, Tressway, that type of thing. And but there are going to be guys that are going to sign elsewhere or agree to contracts elsewhere. And one of them I would expect would be De'Ami Brown right away or pretty quickly, considering the scarcity of established receivers on the market. But, with Bobby Wagner back in the fold, I obviously agree with that. Listen, the Zane Gonzalez thing drives me crazy. I know a lot of people wrote about, what he's had to overcome. I got it. Nice story. Fine. There better be another, Austin Seibert better be resigned or somebody else better be brought in with a 90-man roster. AWOD, you cannot go into next year as a Super Bowl contender, I'm sorry, with Zane Gonzalez as your place kicker untested.
And yeah. That's just the you're right. I don't want to talk kicker, Chris.
No, let's talk something else.
Let's start with Jeremy Chinn because that's what I wonder. Can they upgrade over him, and who would it be?
Yes, you can upgrade over him in terms of a better pass defender and a better space eater, if you will. Yeah, as far as who it would be, I mean, that's the problem. Like, Hufanga from San Francisco, who was with AP, who had a pretty significant knee injury. From what I know and from what I've seen, he's kind of sort of the same player. And I don't mean to marginalize him, but that's kind of like my feeling. Now, a guy like Xavier Woods from Carolina is somebody I think we should keep an eye on. Because remember, they plucked two free agents, Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Chinn, off of Carolina's roster. Like, Carolina's had a lot of issues. Defense hasn't really been one of them. Yeah. That's a guy. If they want to go a more veteran, more established option, I think you could look at Justin Simmons, who caught on late last year with Atlanta, and played fairly well, but wasn't enough of a difference maker. So there are options out there to improve your pass defense and to gobble up a little bit of space, which is not exactly what Jeremy Chinn does. But I would say Chinn, to me, is one of those kind of tempo and culture setter type guys. Like, after a rough first two games last year, you saw, starting with that Monday night game in Cincinnati, it was very evident that Jeremy Chinn, for whatever reason, something switched, and the light bulb went on, and he started hitting. And I think he was, I don't want to say indispensable, for God's sakes, the defense wasn't that good, but he was, he was one of the more counted on, leaned on players in that entire group, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier, I thought four guys flashed almost every game defensively. Luvu, yeah. Wagner, Sainer, yeah. Still, and Jeremy Chinn.
Yeah.
Now, here's why I think you have to re-sign him if you're Washington. Everybody around the league is watching what Adam Peters does as the general manager, and he signed Chinn and Ertz and a few guys like Wagner, one-year deals, right? Yeah. And it was like a prove-it deal. Well, Jeremy Chinn proved it,
yeah.
Right? And I feel like you set a bad precedent if you don't re-sign him when he proved he was good. He was worth the value that you gave him for that one-year deal.
Well, no, it's a more than fair point. Here's the other thing. This is the most interesting thing that I think is being not talked about from the group that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn signed last year, and specific to Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, and Jeremy Chinn. Wagner did not arrive with injury history, but he played every game, right? And leader, run defender, all the stuff that we talk about with Bobby Wagner. Jeremy Chinn very much came in with a lot of questions. That's why he only got a one-year deal about his health, in addition to pass defense and, how much of a space eater he is. But that was a major question. He played every game, all 17, plus the three playoff games. Zach Ertz came in with major questions about his health, played every single... Now, he got knocked out of a couple of games temporarily, but he played 20 games. And to me, like, not only did they gamble on all three of those guys, and Chinn clearly younger than Ertz and Wagner, but those three guys represented, hey, man, we take care of our guys here. And I think that is also a very much a sign to agents and to players. Hey, where can I go that's a contender, that's on the rise? Whether how real it is, we'll figure it out. It kind of depends on a bunch of things, but where they're also going to take care of my body and extend my career, and where I might be willing to give a little bit of a discount or maybe take a little bit less guaranteed or a little shorter term because they're going to take care of my body.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Jeremy Chinn earned another contract the way he played here in Washington this season. Pass rusher will happen eventually. How do you think this is going to play out? Like, is everyone going to wait for this Myles Garrett situation for that domino to fall? Will Hendrickson be the first move? Bosa, you're hearing his name out there now, Josh Sweat. What do you think is going to be the first edge rusher move to kind of start everything?
You know, I've been saying, for weeks, and you probably heard this, and maybe we talked about this at some point on the air, off the air. I can't remember. I can't keep it all straight. You know, the Myles Garrett situation, immediately I was like, oh, let's go get Myles Garrett. That makes sense. That's a dude that I would do ungodly things for. But as soon as you started digging into the contract and the Browns salary cap situation, which we all knew was bad to begin with because of the horrible Deshaun Watson deal, even though they cleared a ton of space with the restructuring of Deshaun Watson, and even though they all have to be cap compliant, it makes no sense for the Browns to play, let's trade the franchise stud, the best thing we have, and one of the few things, great things that we have in Myles Garrett right now because of what it's going to cost in dead money, which is about $36 million worth of dead cap space that, you've already paid out, but you can't use because of the way the salary cap works. So it makes no sense to me, and I don't think it makes any sense to the Cleveland Browns and anybody that understands caponomics for the Browns to trade him before June 1st. Now, after June 1st, we can talk about something else. But if you're Adam Peters, are you sitting around with you mentioned some of the names, Josh Sweat, Joey Bosa, Harold Landry officially became available yesterday, Milton Williams, Khalil Mack, who's, I think I've told you that. That's my guy. You know, and I don't know if he's going back now to the Chargers, being that Bosa is obviously not coming back, but whatever. If you're Adam Peters, you can't sit around and go, yeah, well, maybe Cleveland will get frustrated after June 1st, or maybe in training camp, or maybe when he holds out, and maybe at the deadline. Like, that's a thing that you do, like, to accentuate and to add, not a thing that you should be counting on or planning on right now.
Yeah, no, I totally hear what you're saying, Chris. Here's the thing. I was told the exact same thing about Deebo Samuel with the 49ers, that it wouldn't make sense for them to trade him before June 1st, too.
It's a good point. So here's how I would talk through that. Number one, I don't think, obviously Deebo is not the same type of impact player that Myles Garrett would be, just if you're comparing those two. Very different position, very different player, what have you. Deebo asked for a trade. Myles Garrett asked for a trade. The difference is I think it was much easier to trade Deebo Samuel, and the cap hit, just from a standpoint of, yes, $31 million worth of dead money. That's a lot of dead money, right? I would not want to do that. But they offset it with $17.5 million worth of base salary off their books. So essentially, it was only like a $13.5-14 million dead, which is still significant. But teams pay that all the time. Like, if you look at the Commanders right now, I saw this yesterday, their total dead cap money right now as we speak, after the John Allen, processing, I think is like $14.5 million already on the cap. Now, again, that's not significant to a lot of teams. I mean, but that's part of the reason why, in addition to they don't want to trade Myles Garrett, and they don't want to just blush at the first, threat, if you will, they're going to play a little chicken up in Cleveland. I don't think, again, you can count. Like, if it happens, and if you can sweep them off their feet, I'm sure it could happen, Awad. I'm sure they could make cap gymnastics happen. But why would they do that at this point? Like, just because a guy is unhappy and making threats? Well, screw you. Like this is a league that works both ways. And again, Myles Garrett, by all accounts, great player, obviously, Hall of Famer, good dude, all of that. I get why he's frustrated. But just because I want to trade doesn't mean that I'm going to be automatically granted one, unless we're talking about a dramatic reduction somehow, some way in the financials. So to me, I would concentrate on a lot of other things. And again, I mentioned a bunch of other names that are out there, and the list just keeps getting bigger and bitter, right? Like, right. Some people think, well, maybe like a DeMarcus Lawrence, because he's been with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. I would say the same thing too. He can hold up against the run, but can he hold up physically? And there again lies the rub, right? Like, are you signing a guy? What kind of contract are you signing a guy? Are you signing a guy that's going to, be available 15, 16 games, or is it going to be available 8 games? That's the question, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but like you said, the list seems to be getting bigger and bigger with defensive players that are coming and available every single day. So they're going to make moves next week. I'm with you. I think they re-sign Ertz. I think they re-sign Chin. From the outside, right, a guy that was not on the Commanders, what position will Washington upgrade maybe next week with somebody that was not currently on this roster?
All right, so this is something I've been trying to figure out, obviously, all along as we go, and I think they will make a moderate splash at wide receiver to add to Deebo and Terry. Maybe a Mac Hollins. Some people think Darius Slayton. I think that's maybe a little too rich based on what he's going to want and cost. I think a Mac Hollins just fits this team, right? The dude with the bare feet and all
that.
Not for that. I mean, he's 31 years old, but he can block on the perimeter. He can be a bigger body for you in the red zone, so on and so forth, which they don't really have. I think this is also an interesting thing. From a left guard perspective, right, we already know there's a question about whether Sam Cosmi is going to be ready to start the year at right guard. Can you upgrade from Nick Allegretti? Is that upgrade interior or from the inside, meaning Brandon Coleman switching from left tackle to left guard, which I don't personally want them to do. I would understand if they did it, but I don't want them to do it. I'd rather go from the outside and, just a guy that I think, clearly Adam Peters had in San Francisco, that I think has had a nice career. year. Maybe he costs too much, but a guy like Aaron Banks, who played next to Trent Williams, I think he's 27 years old, Awad, maybe that's a guy that, you know, you can figure out a way with the cap room that you have to kind of come in here, and that allows Allegretti, that allows Coleman, if you want, to stay at left tackle. That allows Allegretti to be basically a top reserve or to start the year at right guard, again, because Cosmi's not quite ready. So it gives you some flexibility, and it gives you some depth, and it gives you, obviously, I think, a better starter.
So that's two offensive pieces coming up next.
Yep.
Chris, always appreciate the time, man. Really good stuff today.
You got it. Thanks, Awad. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Awad Radio.
Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Good clip, Max. I love you running the ones and twos. You're listening to Awad on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and available in Richmond on 910 AM. Time to get up and at 'em and start your Saturday morning off, right? It is a Saturday, March 8th here in the nation's capital. And Adam Peters told reporters last week, we still have a lot of holes to fill on the roster. We'll be busy. The legal tampering period for free agents of other teams begins Monday at noon. All deals and trades can be finalized beginning Wednesday at 4 p.m., the official start of the new league year. What's next for the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You know, we just had Chris Russell on the show. That was great there. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. And I think we both agree the next move will be re-signing their own guys, Ertz and Chin. But Rooster's kind of thinking next week could be offensive players, O-line and wide receiver. That was a little bit surprising for me. Rooster going against the grain after there's been all this talk about edge rushers and buzz about Washington going to get an edge rusher. What's going to be the move next week when it all begins? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Mitch in Jersey. How you doing, Mitch?
How's it going, Adam? Thanks for taking a call.
Yeah, man.
Definitely got draft a defense tackle, even sign one. Maybe we can keep Farrell and Sala. Can we just take a chance on Bosa if it's not too much money? I mean, Joey?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, Mitch, you got to get better on the defensive line. The Bosa name, it just feels like that's what Snyder would do, right? We're building something here through the draft, and you know, Bosa was drafted in 2016. That's a long time ago. I don't think that they're going to kind of overpay for a guy like that who's coming off of a down season. But they will try to get help on the defensive line. And I know. I kind of think Bosa's going to get paid a lot of money to go play somewhere next year, and I don't think Washington wants to spend that. I would bring back Fowler, probably not Cleveland Farrell. Though, Mitch.
Well, he's younger. I still think he has some upside. And one more thing. What you think about Geno Smith going to the Raiders?
Yeah, we're gonna go around the NFL coming up next. It's pretty wild, and that's just the first move of many quarterbacks on the move this offseason. We're gonna go around the NFL coming up next, but appreciate the call, Mitch. We're going to keep it going here. We've got Chris in Damascus. Chris, you're on the fan with AWOD. What's up, man?
Hey, fella. Hey, I don't call you too often, but it's nice to catch up. I appreciate your work. It's not lost on me that you actually do take some time to do a little research before just coming on and reading what's latest on Twitter. So I appreciate that. And one thing I do find funny also is when you said when you go off for a commercial or a break, you say don't change that dial. That tells me you're old school. I think everybody has a button.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point was today on the offensive line, it's not lost on me that when Biadasz was out for a couple games or half a game, whatever it was, back and forth, that Alec Greddy was kind of the guy calling the signals on the line.
Yeah.
He's also a backup center. I think he would make a perfect backup for guards and center because, you know, Dieter kind of struggled in there. So I think Alec Greddy is a perfect backup center. Heck, I remember when Jeff Bostic and, you know, the great Hogs, and Bostic was the center, and there was a moment there where Joe Gibbs thought Russ Grimm would be better at center because Jim Bird of the Giants was crushing Bostic, but they quickly figured out how to handle that. So that's an important asset. So I like Alec Greddy as the swing guy. I like also Doc Walker taught me this, kind of like it's easier to put a tackle into guard than it is a guard out to tackle. But I agree we could upgrade there somewhere. And anyway, appreciate it. I'm listening to you, so I'll catch up as we go, and you do a good job. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I appreciate the call and some good points there on the offensive line. And Chris Russell brought up that piece about Alec Greddy. He would be a good backup, like your number six offensive lineman, your sixth man of the year, right? That could be Nick Alec Greddy. There could be a world in which Coleman gets moved into guard. And then, you know, you think about how big and strong Washington could be in that interior. Maybe it reminds you of the Eagles moving Mekhi Becton into guard, right? And how big and strong he was for them this year. If you have Coleman, Biadasz, Cosme, I think you are going to be able to move the pile and push people forward. And then you try to, you know, maybe they do get Ronnie Staley or they overpay for a starting left tackle because they know the importance of the blind side and how much, you know, that's going to affect Jaden Daniels' ability to make plays downfield. And I Max, tell me what you think about Andrew Wiley, but I would like to not see him on the lineup next season. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of tough with offensive linemen. It's tough to evaluate, but Wiley, like it, especially with Jaden Daniels' quickness and ability to like see the guy that's coming, especially since Wiley's at right tackle. Like Jaden Daniels is facing down Andrew Wiley and watching him every single play.
Yeah.
So if guys get around him, it's not a crazy big deal, but it's happening a little bit too much for my liking.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I just bet you can definitely upgrade that. Let's
Absolutely.
Go to John in Newburgh. John, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
How you doing, AWOD? I agree with you. Number one is to sign Zach Ertz, but I tell you, all Adam has to do is watch the Super Bowl and watch our championship game, and he has to realize that our main thing is to beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
And we're going to play them probably three times if we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
That's a good point, John. You're probably right about that.
If he watches those and he puts a team on the field that can beat the Eagles, of course that's going to make us, you know, a much better team for all our other opponents. But I think actually he's got his work cut out for him. I think if he, because like you say, a edge rusher, offensive line, if he does all that, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, the one thing we have going for us though is, I think Jaden Daniels is much better than Jalen Hurts.
Oh yeah. but Adam, when have you seen it where teams prepare for the Eagles and they say, okay, if we keep Barkley down to 150 yards and two touchdowns, that's acceptable.
Right.
I mean, that's never happened. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Saquon gave them the Lombardi trophy this season. I doubted it. I kept saying on the airwaves last year, he's not going to stay healthy. He made me eat my words. He had one of the best seasons in the history of the NFL at that position.
And he did the right thing that when he went in there and said, hey, I need a new contract. And they should have, you know, they should have gave him the kitchen sink, anything he wanted. Because, you know, like you say, he brought him that trophy.
Yeah. No, he totally did. So if you think about how you're going to handle the Eagles next season, you've got to get much better at defending the run.
Yeah.
That's a priority.
Absolutely, sir. Yeah. All right, you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, John, always appreciate when you chime in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I'm AWOD. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that button. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. There's so much going on in the sports world. I want to touch on the NBA, the NFL, with the quarterback news. But for the Commanders, a few topics that we've already talked about. What's next? And we're going to get into later what Bobby Wagner getting re-signed means to the defensive side of the ball. But phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. And one thing we haven't talked about much is running backs. And I believe that's what Mike wants to chime in about. Mike in Fairfax. Mike, you're on the Fan with AWOD. What's up, dude?
What's up, brother?
How are you?
Appreciate you taking my call, man. Really, really appreciate it. Always smart talk as usual. As I was telling the call screener, who was absolutely fantastic, by the way, I have never been this is blasphemous to say, I'm sure, out here in the area, but I've never been a fan of Brian Robinson. Nice guy. He looks the part. But if you look at his yards per year, they're average at best. And to me, there's a problem when Eckler gets more yards than he did last year. That's a big red flag. Now, he gets yards, but when the offensive line opens up a hole the size that a Ford F-150 could go through. I mean, let's be honest, right? So I think we really do have to address that. We don't have a running back at this point that can really get the job done. That's my take. I would be curious as to see what Peters does about that, if anything at all. But to me, that's always been kind of the elephant in the room, brother. What do you think, man?
I unfortunately, I agree with you, and I love Brian Robinson Jr. Like, I think
he's
his story is so cool, right? I mean, the guy was bulletproof, right?
Yes.
But he's not Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson. I mean,
not
he's not even Bucky Irving, right? So it's a weakness, especially with how good Jaden Daniels is at running, right? I mean, with Jaden Daniels and what Eckler did, B-Rob should have had, you know, 1,500 yards, right? Like, he should have had the home
you're
run ball.
Right.
So
another thing, too, Adam, thanks for taking my call, as usual. But, yeah, I think you nailed it. I talk to people, and they say, well, no, it's not Robinson. He's excellent. It's the O-line. There's only so much you can blame the O-line for, you know? I mean, I'd be curious if you had a Henry or a Saquon or somebody else that – really has the goods back there, how much more yards they would have picked up in the same type of situation.
Yeah.
That's just my take, man. I mean, you guys are a hell of a lot smarter than I do and than I am regarding this, and so is Adam. But I want to see another running back there, a younger guy that's also injury-free. He's either on the field and he's average or he's hurt. So we'll see what happens, brother. Thanks for taking my call, dude.
Yep, good call, Mike. I appreciate you chiming in. Yep. Max, I know you want to weigh in on this as well. The good thing is there's not many free agent running backs.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get one in the draft. And that's where
it's crazy.
I think I've got a top three, but I'll let you go first, Max.
Ooh.
All right.
Top three, number one, top three that we're drafting or top three in the draft right now?
Top three in the draft.
Ashton Gentry 1, Omarion Hampton 2, Travion Henderson 3. That's
okay.
That's the top three. In the draft, top three that we could get. It depends on how high Omarion Hampton's stock shoots after the combine and on all these team meetings and stuff like that. Because there's been rumors that his stock is shooting up. I would love to get him personally, but at the same time, I'm also willing to accept that he may not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Travion Henderson is probably going to be an early second round pick, so I have a feeling that with the lack of draft capital that we currently have, I could definitely see us trading out of 29 and for a few more mid-round picks, just because that's where the strength is in this draft. So Travion Henderson's definitely one I could see in play. Quinchen Judkins, another one very much in play. I could definitely see a couple of these Ohio State guys joining the Commanders.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton either, because he's just feels like an every down back that, yeah, that could be a first round pick. Travion Henderson's really interesting, and I love both the Ohio State guys because they both took snaps away from each other, so they're both a little bit more fresh going into their pro career. Dylan Sampson's an interesting guy. Of course, Cam Scataboo, got kind of mainstream with the postseason he had. I told you before, I like ETN. That's one of the guys at the top of my list, as well as Bashal Tootin from Virginia Tech. But I think Henderson is the guy that Washington needs to go get. I think he fits the role there. But really, it's hard to go wrong, right? Because Devin Neal, Caleb Johnson. There's just so many.
It's endless.
Yes. And so that's almost a lock right there that Washington either second, third, or fourth round will grab a running back. I don't think they do that in the first round. But there will be a running back. And then you got to consider Deebo Samuel as part of the rushing attack next season. What, 25, 30 carries? Could you use him around the goal line? Could you use him maybe on third and one situations? Deebo can certainly run the rock. And it definitely could be a gadget piece. We already did Wildcat a few times this year with Brian Robinson there. So maybe that's Deebo next season. But it does feel like running back will be improved, not in free agency, but in the upcoming NFL draft. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. So we wanted to go around the NFL, and I've got to update the vibe meter because vibes are up for the Raiders and down in Seattle. Pete Carroll sees unfinished business with Geno Smith trading for the quarterback from the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, Pete Carroll, longtime coach, Super Bowl winner with the Seahawks, will begin his first season as coach of the Raiders next this upcoming year. Did Pete choose Geno over Russell Wilson? Kind of seems like that. Kind of does. We're going to go around the NFL, talk about some trade rumors, and the rest of the offseason moves around the National Football League with NFL hits coming up next on The Fan. I'm Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible, and although there's a ton of moves going on around the National Football League with quarterbacks, most recently Geno Smith to the Vegas Raiders, we just brought up the running back situation here in Washington. We got a few callers on the line. You can also tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we will read it on air. I appreciate all the people getting in touch with me on social media, letting me know that they are tuned in here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. So let's go to the phone lines right now, 1-800-636-1067. We've got Bones in Southeast. What's up, Bones?
Hey, my main man, AWOD, shout out to Max, man. You know, I just wanted to reiterate it, man, what that guy called before me said, man. B-Rob, man, you know, really did not impress me last season, man, with his running, man, in that backfield. And we definitely need us a running back, man. That's the problem right there. It's not the offensive line. We need a top-flight running back, man. We need somebody like Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, the guy in Atlanta. You know what I mean? We got to get us a running back. We need a running back because B-Rob was tiptoeing through them holes last season, man. He was running with his head down. He don't have that peripheral vision to see, you know, the area which he could make a cut at. I mean, he was just running straight with his head down, you know, and tiptoeing.
Bones, hold on. I agree with you. We need to upgrade a running back. But to you, is that the priority? Is that more important than edge rusher?
No. I was just saying, I heard the guy speak about running back, and I ain't hear nobody talk about that, you know, during the whole offseason. we definitely need a running back. The edge rusher is most important, but we also need a running back.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they're going to go get a guy in the first round, though, because I think edge rusher, they believe, is more important. I see what you're saying, and you're right. B-Rob was, you know, he underperformed this year with how good Jaden and Eckler was. But the Eagles went off with Saquon and scored 55 points. We got to stop the run. That's what we got to do in the first round. So there's a lot of things we got to improve on this offseason, but I agree running back is one. Let's go to Owen in D.C. Owen, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, Wad. Hey, much respect to Bones, but I completely disagree. When you look at what Saquon did in New York when he did not have a line, and then you look at what Saquon did in Philly with a line, and then you look at their average yards per carry, Saquon's 4.7, B-Rob's 4.1. It's not the running back. It is the line. There is how many times did B-Rob get hit in backfield or have to jump around because the hole wasn't there?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you that he was hitting the backfield a ton and the O-line needs to improve. But you're telling me the eye test tells you that Saquon and Brian Robinson Jr. are similar?
Not similar, but they're not as different as what everybody's making it out to be when you look at the line. I mean, the whole reason that B-Rob didn't have the same production is because he would put his head down and go forward just to try to get something because there was no hole there. Or he would try to jump cut and go somewhere where there was a hole. The only reason that Eckler and Jaden were able to have success get out to the perimeter on design screens or it's a broken play and
yeah.
Jaden just made it.
So Owen, look, I like Brian Robinson a lot. I'm a homer. I want everybody that's been drafted by Washington to play for the rest of their career, all right? But at the same time, look at it like this, okay? If Washington's going to be a contender, they need a top 10 running back. Would you consider B-Rob a top 10 running back?
With a line to block for him, yes.
Okay.
I would. Because
okay.
He has not had a line to block for him. Just think what Terry could do if Jaden had a line to give him an extra second to look around and go through all his reads and progressions.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I just think at the end of the day, Brian Robinson is who he was drafted, right? And he's a third round pick, number 98 overall. Like, we need a running back that's a first round pick or a high second round pick. Because I don't know that the ceiling for Brian Robinson is, even with a good offensive line, for him to ever get, you know, 1,300, 1,400 yards.
I mean, 4.1 yards per carry. Like I said, he's only 0.5 yards behind, half a yard behind Saquon.
Yeah.
You think about it. Like, you know, you put a line there, what's going to happen if he was running in Philadelphia?
Yeah. No, you could be right, Owen. It's an interesting point here. I like him. I think they will upgrade, though. He'll be probably part of the offense next season, but I think it'll be B-Rob Eckler and a rookie. Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, you're on the fan with AWOD.
AWOD, man. Long time, man. How you been? Everything good?
Yeah, man.
Good to hear you, man. Shout out to Bones, man. Yeah, man. B-Rob kind of disappointed me, too, man. He turned it on, and, you know, he was on for that, I believe, was the Tampa Bay? The Tampa Bay game or the Detroit game? He was on for one game, and then the next game he disappeared, and that speed is not there. I think that, you know, that him having that when he got shot out there, I think, I don't know, still have an effect on him. But yeah, we need a thumper, man. We need, like, you know, like Bones say, man, like got like Jahmyr Gibbs or Saquon, somebody like that. But then again, you know, the draft is deep, so they could find a way to get people like, you know, running back from, you know, don't get them in the first round, but in the second or third round or something like that, and add some depth on that D-line and defensive end, man. And as far as, you know, the guy from the Cincinnati looking for, you know, first-round pick or second-round pick, and, you know, he wants to get $30 million-plus, man, I just don't want to, you know, I feel like we're doing business like a Snyder if we do, you know, give up, and, you know, what Cincinnati's looking for just to get a somebody like Trey. I mean, he's not like, you know, a game changer. He's not like Myles Garrett. So I don't want to waste, you know, all this just to give up for one guy. So Yeah, I just want him to address that through, like, you know, they could get somebody like from, not Cincinnati, Tennessee, the guy who got cut, Harold Landry.
Yeah,
him. You know, if they could get him for cheap, I mean, he's still young. I know he's, you know, the number's not up there, but I think he could come in and play much better as far as, you know, the run game goes and be better, like, you know, like the guy we had Fowler. I mean, he doesn't set the edge and play the run, so they could let him go and maybe bring him in or something like that. Plug in a, you know, a year or two guys, and, you know, sign him for a 1 year or two-year deal and try to find a way, try to maximize, you know, whatever they could do, try to, you know, use that before, you know, Jaden contract is up. And,
yeah,
you know, I think they should be in a good position if they could do that. But don't give up don't do business like Snyder used to do and just give up, you know, everything. Try to get somebody like, you know, if it's Myles Garrett, I'm willing to give up everything. But if not.
Well, let me just tell you this, Lou. And I don't know that I would pay that much money for Hendrickson, but he's not just an average guy. 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years, and he's gone over double-digit sacks four of the last five. He is a game-changer on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe not to the levels of Myles Garrett, but just right behind him, I would say.
Yeah, I just like what I'm saying is I just want somebody that can wreck the game. And if you have Myles Garrett, he's going to demand a double team and your defensive back and, you know, all your defense. They're going to be free and they're going to be, you know, they're going to play, extra well because at least he's going to demand a double team and things like that. So I just that's the way I kind of envision what Myles Garrett could do compared to Trey. So appreciate you taking my call. Good to hear from you, my brother.
Yep.
Take it easy, man.
Yep, yes, Lou. Sir. Always fun, man. Keep calling in on Saturdays. Let's go to Kevin in D.C., line four. Kevin, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, kind of comment on what Lou just said. I wouldn't pay that for Trey Henderson. If that's the case, you got a guy like Khalil Mack, which is a game changer, which is a free agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Khalil Mack's older, you know.
Yeah, as far as B-Rob last year, he was disappointed. But like you said, he was getting hit 3 yards in the backfield trying to make something happen. But I think a good sneaky pick for the Commanders this year would be Scatbo from Arizona State.
Why do you think so?
He has the size and the speed. Like, B-Rob lacks the speed in the open field. You need a back with speed in the open field to take for the home run. We don't have no running back in our backfield roster right now. That's all.
Yeah.
Potential home run hitter.
Yeah. I think that's the issue.
We don't have a home run hitter. That's the main thing. And Jonathan Allen, I'm sad that you got, but you got your wish. When we was losing, you wanted to go. We went and you wanted to stay, but now you got what you asked for.
Good call, Kevin.
I was discussing with my friend talking about dominant defensive players. Dominant defensive players, Chris Jones get double teamed, he beats it. Jonathan Allen gets double teamed, he gets stuck like he has quicksand in his feet. So, like, we need a dominant, someone dominant in the middle that demands a double team that still beats it. Aaron Donald beats double teams. Chris, all these, Jalen Carter beats double teams, triple teams. Like, you need to find a dog in that middle.
Yeah. No, hopefully that's Johnny Newton taking the next step because it's going to be Newton and Payne as your starting tackles. All right,
I think Adam Peters see the window open like the Niners a few years ago, so I think he might try to load it up this year because the window is open.
Yeah, no, the window's open. They've got the money to spend, and there's players out there. Every single day there's a new guy that gets cut that was like a former All-Pro or Pro Bowler.
Would you like to bring in DK Metcalf? DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuels, and Terry McLaurin.
That'd be the dream. But
you had DK Metcalf lined up where Noah Brown was the kids that – you'll have Deebo. If he makes the kids look decent, we're going to be real pretty good this year.
Yeah, I just think at that point you're playing Madden. You can't actually get all those three guys and get them under contract and get them all fed and getting balls and keeping them happy. They're divas a little bit, so I just don't see that happening. But I would be for it. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I want to squeeze in Guy in Silver Spring real quick. Guy, what's up? Hello,
Yo,
Guy.
Hey, A1.
Yo.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Hey, man, I miss our back and forth on Twitter. I quit when that lunatic bought it. Hope you're well. So, I'm a Dayton alum, your VCU, tough game. I'm not calling to rub it in. I'm just really concerned about the A-10 conference. If VCU doesn't win the tournament, do you think that conference is good enough to get two teams in, including VCU? Dayton has a couple top five wins this year earlier, but they struggled in conference play, and I really hope that this conference can get two teams in. What do you think?
Guy, I appreciate you chiming in. Give me a chance to talk a little A-10 hoops. I will be coming to D.C. to cover the tournament all of next week, games at Capital One Arena. Unfortunately, the A-10 gets no damn respect. This is a one-bid league this year. I hate to say it. I feel like I've watched the A-10 crumble in front of my eyes. This was a six-bid league at one point, like 10 years ago. And now Dayton was great in the ATA Conference. A couple great wins, including like Marquette, right? Should have beaten UNC, I think. Beat UConn. George Mason, Tony Skins have this incredible season, and they're second in the conference right now. And VCU's in first, and he lost to Dayton. And yet Dayton, VCU or Mason, I think only one team is getting into the tournament this season. Here's what I'll say about the A-10 getting a second team in. If VCU advances to the finals and lose to George Mason or Dayton, I think the Rams are in. If they lose on Saturday, I think there's a chance that they're a first four team playing on Tuesday and Wednesday in the 11 versus 11 game. So if they lose on Saturday, that's what I think happens. If they lose on Sunday, the league will get two bids in. If VCU wins it, it's a one-bid league. If VCU loses on Friday, it's a one-bid league. And it's just it's unfortunate. And if you want to hear me complain about college hoops, we'll find a way to squeeze that in the final segment. I'm so frustrated seeing all the SEC teams getting into the NCAA tournament. I don't think that half of them belong in. But we've been talking NFL, and we've got full lines to continue our NFL conversation after this quick commercial break on The Fan.